Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And we've plenty more to come on the programme in this hour, including, does writing a song for a hit film change your life? Well, Adam McGuire will be looking into the business of writing for the silver screen. Keeping the Old Man Out, Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven, on how your attitude to ageing could impact your health and longevity. And from costumes to decorations, we're going to find out how to have a greener Halloween. Now, we know that the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting, which is taking place tonight, we're expecting it to be fiery around Jim Gavin's withdrawal from the presidential election. But there are developments in the story this morning. Barry Lenehan is here with us. Barry, what's happening?
Yes, good morning, Claire. Developments coming thick and fast. Who said it would be a boring election? Those words have so famously wrong. Many questions still outstanding this morning, but the tenant at the centre of this rent overpayment scandal has spoken on a podcast which has just been published. He spoke, Niall Donald, he spoke to his colleague in the Sunday World, Nicola Tallant, on the Crime World podcast, and I think we can take a quick listen to some of what he had to say.
Yeah. I think, does the punishment fit the crime? Probably not. Yeah. I kind of feel sorry for him that he wasn't handled better.
Yeah.
I mean, not blaming Fianna Fáil or whatever. Maybe they didn't get full info. I feel sorry for him because it's going to hang over him.
Mm.
But it did hang over me.
Mm.
Maybe
certainly
in a different, maybe in a less public way. But it hung over me. But I do feel that maybe he's been punished too much, but yeah. I don't really know, Nicola.
And sorry, by the way, have you been paid back the money yet?
No, I haven't. Heard anything. And you know, obviously, when it comes to the money, like, you know, I mean, the statute of limitations for pursuing it is long gone, so I'm not going to be pursuing the money.
But
I can't legally.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to be ringing up looking for my money.
Mm.
So it's up to him if he wants to pay it back or not.
Niall Donald there speaking to Nicola Tallant on the Crime World podcast. Barry, you had a chance to listen to the rest of that interview. What else did he have to say about Jim Gavin and the handling of the rent overpayment?
Yeah, Mr. Donald, as I say, who is a colleague of Nicola Tallant in the newspaper there, he outlined in some detail how he tried to retrieve the overpayment and rent. He confirmed how he rented the apartment in Smithfield from 2007 and 2009, how after he cancelled one of the rental standing orders when he moved out, he didn't cancel a second one. And after contacting Mr. Gavin, he said, as far as I remember, he certainly said, I'll look into it or whatever. He went on to detail how he then called to Mr. Gavin's parents' house and handed them a solicitor's letter and then received a phone call from him that night. This was circa 2009-2010, and Mr. Donald alleges that Mr. Gavin was angry that he'd called to his parents' house, but he said that after he calmed down, Mr. Gavin accepted he owed him the money and said he would send it to him, but it never arrived. I never talked to him again, never talked to him since. Life goes on, Mr. Donald told Nicola Tallant, and how he then went on to detail as well how every time Dublin won an All-Ireland in the last decade, people would say, there's your mate, Jim Gavin, and how he pondered perhaps publishing details of this issue when Dublin won the historic five in a row in 2019. Now, we've contacted Mr. Gavin for a response to all this morning. No response forthcoming as of yet, but I suppose critically in the context of the election, we have the tenant at the centre of this issue now claiming that he feels Jim Gavin has perhaps suffered too severe a penalty and too severe a punishment from the political party which endorsed him, Fianna Fáil, mm-hmm. which only adds to the spice heading into that meeting tonight.
Well, coming back to Fianna Fáil, I mean, are we any clearer now on who knew what and when about all of this?
We do know that the issue was brought forward to Fianna Fáil headquarters on September 8th prior to the selection convention. That was confirmed yesterday, and the Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, whom of course was the Director of Elections in the studio a few moments ago, he confirmed last night that he knew about the issue around September 8th as well, and it was put to Mr. Gavin, and Mr. Gavin denied at that stage any knowledge of it. Now, there are three competing circulating theories within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party over what should have happened since then. Around that, at that point, Mr. Chambers and those close to the Fianna Fáil hierarchy, they might argue that a lot of stuff was coming in to Fianna Fáil headquarters about Jim Gavin. As we know, there were allegations, false allegations online about his private life. Could they really pay credence into everything? In the middle ground there, then there are people that are not happy about what has happened, but they say, well, what were they, Fianna Fáil, supposed to do? Were they supposed to check Jim Gavin's bank account? There are others then who say, other TDs who say, look, the fact that something came in from Fiona Sheehan, who is one of the most eminent political journalists in the country, with these questions, should have been given more importance and should have been checked more thoroughly. And then there are other people who are completely incandescent in rage, with rage that more was not done at that stage, and indeed that Mr. Gavin still received the endorsement from the party hierarchy going into that critical selection convention the following day.
So this meeting now that's happening tonight, I mean, you did tell us yesterday when you were here that one of the backbenchers described it to you as Titus Andronicus.
Yes,
you
know, that vengeful Shakespearean play, yes.
Waiting for all sorts of fireworks. But what's the general sense now of what the vibe will be at this meeting tonight? Have people calmed down? Because I think initially there was shock, wasn't there? Then there was anger. Are we into another stage of grief now?
Yep, yes, and I think there were finger pointing people trying to work out within Fianna Fáil who might have used such Shakespearean language to describe the situation that they are in. The situation this morning from talking to some TDs is that essentially one said, won't be a heave, but it'll be a good old fashioned brawl. Now the Taoiseach Micheál Martin ringing people again this morning to shore up support, I am told, ahead of going into this meeting. He said last night that he took responsibility for what happened. That was seen by one middle ground TD as a significant intervention, because there was a significant level of disquiet over the Taoiseach's interview on the 6-1 news the night before. And Micheál Martin has been espousing in the comments on the airwaves this morning with Pat Kenny saying essentially taking responsibility again, and also alleging that Bertie Ahern would not have done quite well or wouldn't have got home in a presidential contest. But the there is still rage. The damage is effing incalculable, said one backbench TD to me this morning. 70 members of the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, it's estimated up to 20 of those will go in and give both barrels, is what I am told. There'll be heavy resistance from the backbenchers. The Taoiseach is likely to move to initiate a review of this whole presidential debacle, going right back to the selection process. But another TD, in keeping with the Shakespearean theme, quoting Macbeth on this review, saying, if it were done when it is done, it is done quickly. And that'll be the key thing, because the rebels within that room tonight, they say any review is only an effort by Micheál Martin and the deputy leader, Jack Chambers, to kick this to touch. The rebels want no review. The middle ground want a review quickly. So the dynamic here is rather interesting all the same.
Listen, it's not just about the rent issue and the tenant issue, as Niall Donald has outlined earlier. I mean, there were questions being asked about whether this was the right candidate, looking at the Sunday Independent poll at the weekend at 15%, and also questions around his experience, you know, how he was coping with those debates that he had taken part in and the interviews and so on. Questions were being raised before the main substantive issue came up. Am I right?
Yeah, TDs have great sympathy for Mr. Gavin and the tenant at the centre of this, but their contention is, aside from those perhaps the cabinet ministers who will be supportive of the Taoiseach, is that it was about more than just what emerged over the weekend. It was about the campaign in general. Words such as rudderless, no leadership, who was in charge. Of course, we know the Director of Elections was Jack Chambers. We saw the breadth of issues over the past hour that he has had to contend with and swat up on over the last few weeks, aside from potentially running an election campaign. But several TDs said to me they weren't quite sure who was in charge of what was going on, that staff members were sent out with Mr. Gavin on the stump. Fine people, one TD said, but where was the political experience to guide him, a political novice, through the most grueling and harshest of election campaigns that there is? These are the sorts of questions that will come up, that the thing was perhaps doomed to failure from the very start. For instance, in Connacht, one constituency, one TD asked 50 people to go canvassing and not one person put up their hand. So mm-hmm. those are the sorts of stories that are being fed back, and TDs who've been out campaigning with Mr. Gavin, they're raising real concerns over how the whole thing was operating, not, they say, in line with a party that won a general election a few short months ago.
I saw one wag writing to the newspapers this morning saying Maria Steen should change her name by deed poll to Jim Gavin. His name is already there and she could run, but she is calling for the whole election now to be cancelled.
That's right. Just she has said this in the Irish Times to Ellen Coyne. She says democracy is supposed to mean that the people get to decide. The political legitimacy of the presidential election was already in doubt, and now it has been further undermined. Now, that doesn't seem a constitutional possibility, but it perhaps does feed into maybe where this will go over the next 2 weeks. Remember, before the Jim Gavin debacle blew up, much talk over people being unhappy with the quantity of the field, only two candidates remaining, a potential low turnout. So Ms. Steen's comments will perhaps only fan the flames of that particular movement.
And some controversy for Catherine Connolly, who is a presidential candidate, as we know, because the Irish Independent reports that her team have refused to remove a campaign video featuring a clip of President Michael D. Higgins. That clip, they say, used without his permission. She's been talking about this morning. I mean, she's only saying that she's going to check it out. Is that going to be an issue for her?
Yeah, well, both camps, I think, this morning now, seem to have issues about social media videos. Catherine Connolly's video, they're refusing to remove that video. I've contacted them this morning to see a spokesperson for the president telling the current president, Michael D. Higgins, confirming to the Irish Independent that permission had not been sought nor granted for Catherine Connolly to use Mr. Higgins in the campaign video, and had received no communication whatsoever. So let's see what happens there. Of course, there's a deep history between Ms. Connolly and Mr. Higgins, going back to the Galway West general election in 2007, and Ms. Connolly's wish to be a running mate for Mr. Higgins. It would appear that Ms. Humphreys, meanwhile, in Fine Gael, has changed a video on social media. There was a video posted last night of her visiting Belfast on a day trip, and had tip, I think, to Gavin Riley, who has found this one out, that the original video had an image of the Bundestag instead of Belfast City Hall, Germans Bundestag. This was up last night.
How does that happen?
And then around an hour ago, a new video has emerged with Miss Humphreys visiting Belfast City Hall. The video, of course, aiming to showcase her links to the North, and obviously trying to corral that border vote. But it just shows you, in a presidential campaign, even going back to Jim Gavin, we saw his social media faux pas as well. Everything is scrutinised. You need people right at the top looking and ticking every box. And as we see even here from the other two candidates, no trip up is possible, which makes the next 2.5 weeks ever more exciting.
All right. Well, tonight will be interesting, won't it? That Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting, which I'm sure we'll hear about. Hopefully in real time.
Well, there could be silence. You never know,
Claire.
You never know.
There won't be.
They might be brushing up on their Shakespeare for tomorrow.
There might be, or we could get some live tweeting, which is what we all want, isn't it? Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.